Hello, welcome. This is Jada as your host here on Secrets in the Shadows. This is the intro before the intro music. Really, really excited to finally add the intro music to the podcast. It's all coming together. Today is the second episode of the podcast. We are diving really deep into CERN, NASA, and a highly anticipated solar eclipse. Good morning, afternoon, or evening, whatever time of day it is for you. Welcome to Secrets in the Shadows. Again, my name is Jada, here as your host. And man, we've got a banger topic today. We're getting into CERN, NASA, and of course, your highly anticipated solar eclipse, connecting it to occult rituals. We've got alternate realities, lots to discuss. And I'm really, really excited. So without further ado, let's just get straight into it. I do actually want to talk about one hot topic, because, you know, I didn't talk about it last week's episode. By the way, this is the second episode. Did not get to talk about this last week, and I wanted to. So I just want to play a quick live of the first human subject for Neuralink. Yeah, let's play this live and then we'll dive into the main topic. But I did find this rather interesting, of course, because it's very, very new and fresh with the experiments. So here it is.
It's Bliss, and I'm an engineer at Neuralink, and I'd like to introduce you to the first ever user of the Neuralink device, and I think you're my only telekinetic friend that they have.
Yeah, I think so.
Not many more of those out there. You want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name's Nolan Arbaugh. I'm 29 years old. About 8 years ago, I was in kind of a freak diving accident, and dislocated my C4, C5, so I'm a complete quadriplegic. So I'm paralyzed from below the shoulders. I have no sensation or movement below my level of injury, so below my shoulders. Yeah, that about covers it, right?
Do I do some of your dogs here? Let me
flip the camera so you guys can
see. Okay, dog. Yeah. Let me just flip the camera on so you can see what Nolan's been doing.
Yeah.
Let me come over here. Do you want to explain a little bit what's going on here?
Yeah, so I love playing chess, and so this is one of the things that y'all have enabled me to do, something that I wasn't able to really do much the last few years, especially not like this. I had to use like a mouse stick and stuff, but now it's all being done with my brain. If y'all can see the cursor movement, that's all me, y'all. It's pretty cool, huh?
Actually, can you pause the song just for the audio coming through? And that was also done with your brain?
Yep. It's all brain power up there.
Can you explain a little bit just to people who maybe don't have any context on this field or what's going on here? How are you able to actually move the cursor?
Yeah, so we started out with trying out a few different things. We basically went from what we call kind of differentiating like imagined movement versus attempted movement. So a lot of what we started out with was attempting to move. So I would attempt to move, say, my right hand, left, right, forward, back. And from there, I think it just became intuitive for me to start imagining the cursor moving.
Yeah, like I said, I don't want to spend too much time on this hot topic, but very, very interesting. He is describing his experience controlling technology with his brain. Now, this isn't the first time this has ever been done. This is just Neuralink's first human subject demonstrating his brain-computer interface. But Facebook, I believe, you know, has been involved with very, very relative technologies. This paralyzed 29-year-old man is using his Neuralink brain implant to control a computer. Fascinating. Fascinating stuff. What a brave new world. Okay, so with that being said, let's just go ahead and get into the main topic, because there's a lot of hot topics surrounding the main topic itself. So April 8th, we have a solar eclipse coming, of course, a very highly anticipated solar eclipse. Now, to give you a refresher on what exactly happens during a solar eclipse, here it states on Wikipedia, a solar eclipse occurs when the moon passes between Earth and the sun, thereby obscuring the view of the sun from a small part of Earth, totally or partially. So this is a total solar eclipse. And now I want to first start with CERN, and then we'll get into NASA, and then we'll wrap up with theories surrounding the event itself. But CERN is planning to test the most powerful and most talked about particle accelerator in the world on April 8th, the day of the solar eclipse. Now, there are a vast amount of energies that are released within particle collision. And there is speculation that the Large Hadron Collider would potentially lead to the formation of subatomic black holes or wormholes, which may give us access to other worlds, parallel dimensions, alternate realities. And for many of you, I'm sure the concept of the Mandela effect comes to mind when thinking of CERN. It is rather exciting for many that science potentially meets science fiction as we explore the depths of what's unknown. It is rather eerie for many that the Large Hadron Collider is attempting to access a portal the same day as our solar eclipse. So here in the Journal of YoungPhysicists.org, an article titled Wormholes, the Cosmic Tunnels, I'm going to read a brief introduction to the concept of wormholes. So the concept of wormholes has fascinated us for decades. These hypothetical structures predicted by the theory of general relativity offer a fascinating glimpse into the possibilities of interstellar travel, time dilation, and even time travel. In this comprehensive article, we will delve into the depths of wormholes, covering their definition, properties, theoretical existence, potential uses, and the intriguing implications they pose for the understanding of our universe. Wormholes can be imagined as cosmic tunnels, connecting different points in space-time, essentially serving as shortcuts through the fabric of the universe. While there is no direct observational evidence for wormholes, they emerge as solutions in the equations of general relativity. The basic idea involves bending the fabric of space-time so intensely that two distant regions become connected, forming a tunnel-like structure. So, of course, they connect it to Albert Einstein, Nathan Rosen, terrible with names again, so if you want to look further into that, I'll definitely be citing this article. But now let's get into CERN. So on CERN's website homepage, it displays, what is the nature of our universe? What is it made of? Now another article that I'm going to cite, really, really interesting because it ties to occult theories relative to Alice in Wonderland. But what's significant is that CERN has named CERN-born technology White Rabbit. Yeah. So this is straight from the source, CERN's website. Here it states, White Rabbit is a technology developed at CERN to provide the LHC, Large Hadron Collider, accelerator chain with deterministic data transfer. First used in 2012, the technology has since then expanded its application outside the field of particle physics and is now deployed in numerous scientific infrastructures worldwide. Yeah, what's very, very interesting is that, you know, if you're seasoned in the conspiracy world, Alice in Wonderland is really, really huge to Matrix. But I will say that this is very, very interesting nonetheless. So CERN's key achievements include the discovery of Higgs boson in 2012, birth of the World Wide Web in 1989, and of course, the Large Hadron Collider, which first started up in 2008. Now, could this particle accelerator really alter our reality? And if so, what does this mean for our experience in this universe? I mean, I find it very strange that Nuclear Safety Office Walter Wagner and Spanish journalist Luis Sancho, both who happen to have a history with the Large Hadron Collider, decided to sue the European Lab for Particle Physics. I mean, the lawsuit was dismissed, but on Yahoo Finance, it states regarding the lawsuit that Wagner and Sancho were trying to save the world from what they thought was almost certain annihilation. I mean, obviously, this was a few years ago and we are still here and breathing, but interesting, very, very interesting again. So, Switzerland. Home of the World Economic Forum, the UN, and of course, CERN. I did want to bring up that the WEF logo also displays an eclipse. So now things are going to get really, really interesting because I'm going to play a clip from a lecture by Professor Scott Minari, which is titled Angels and Demons, The Science Revealed. Now, what's really interesting is that he used to work on the particle accelerator, and you're going to hear him referencing the movie Angels and Demons. So I'm going to play this quick clip, and he's going to talk about his experience with how the director of the film came to visit them at CERN.
This is the European Laboratory for Particle Physics. It's a French acronym, Conseil Européen pour la Recherche Nucléaire. You can see it here on the right. It's, you can see the Geneva Airport. You can see Lac Leman, Lake Geneva up top. And of course, the white line is the accelerator. There is no such white line. Of course, it's been put on this photo, so you can see it. It was founded more than half a century ago, and more than 9,000 scientists have done research there, including a lot of Canadians. So, who's seen the movie, by the way? Oh, a fair number of people. Okay. So this is what CERN, the control room, looks like in the movie. Okay. And this is what CERN control room really looks like. It's fairly more modest and not quite so full of glass. This is Ron Howard directing particle physicists to look like particle physicists, and you notice that they're in particular wearing white lab coats, so I wore one this evening for your honor. But in fact, these are what physicists really look like, so I'm going to take this off because they don't wear those. And that's actually Ron Howard visiting the site of the experiment that I work on at CERN, and that's some of my collaborators. I collaborate with physicists from Canada and the U.S. and Denmark and Brazil and the United Kingdom, etc.
Two reasons why I played this clip of this lecture. One, well, I do find it very informative. So if you are interested, I will definitely be citing this as well, because he gets very into the specifics of the work that's being done at CERN. Now, two is that he specifically states here that Ron Howard visited him while he worked at CERN. Ron Howard visited CERN for the development of a film literally called Angels and Demons. Okay. Interesting. Okay. So this movie is about members of a secret society who decide to steal a container of antimatter to blow up the Vatican. So we have integrated CERN, the Vatican, and the Illuminati all in one movie and called it Angels and Demons. I mean, if I didn't know better, I'd think the director was a bit of a conspiracy theorist himself. I mean, unless they're trolling the conspiracy theorists, which is a theory that some entertain. Some believe that's what CERN was doing when they did this mock ritual sacrifice. Yeah, remember? Yeah, there was this video circulating the web. This video that was apparently being recorded at CERN. And it was a video of them doing a mock ritual sacrifice around a Shiva statue. So I'm going to read a quick paragraph about it on The Guardian, but they also have the video. So if you want to go and watch the video, it's exactly what you would expect. Creepy as hell. But here it states on The Guardian, a fake ritual killing filmed in a courtyard at CERN, the Geneva Particle Physics Research Complex, has prompted an investigation. A spokeswoman suggested users of the facility had let their humor go too far and warned of the potential for misunderstandings about the scientific nature of our research. So let's say they are simply trolling the conspiracy theorists with this mock human ritual sacrifice around Shiva. Okay, if that is the case, why? Why do the conspiracy theories even matter? I mean, you're physicists. It also doesn't help that their logo actually looks like it has a bunch of sixes meshed together. I mean, you got Angels and Demons movies, the director visiting y'all at the site. It's a little much. I mean, CERN's pretty creepy anyway. Enough of them. Let's get into the solar eclipse. And NASA. So things are actually going to get even creepier, but yeah. So the day of the eclipse happens to be on April 8th. This is when we're going to tie some occult theories into what's playing out in reality. So we know that NASA plans to launch 3 sounding rockets into the moon's shadow during the solar eclipse. We also know that NASA has a history with Jack Parsons, a man who has connections with L. Ron Hubbard, founder of Scientology, and Aleister Crowley. Now, the day of the eclipse happens to be on April 8th. Same day, Aleister Crowley, a satanic occultist and ceremonial magician, reported to have first contacted Iwas. Now, I could be butchering the name, but it is spelled A-I-W-A-S-S. But he supposedly was in contact with this entity for 3 days, and it started on April 8th. So for 3 days, the entity must have had quite the impact on Aleister Crowley, because he then writes the Book of the Law, a text that forms the basis for Thelema. So Aleister Crowley claims to be in contact with this entity for 3 days. NASA plans to launch specifically 3 sounding rockets. Okay, is there a connection there? Very well could not be. You know, that's not enough. But it gets a little bit more bizarre when you consider NASA's historical ties to occultist Jack Parsons. Now, Jack Parsons invented the first rocket engine and was one of the principal founders of both JPL as well as the Aerojet Engineering Corporation. So, Jack Parsons was a well-known occultist, and I honestly can't think of a better way to describe his interests than to just say he was into that freaky deaky-ish. You know, he was into sex, magic, rituals. I do believe NASA attempted to write him out of their history. I mean, you're not going to find much about him on their website, though he was clearly important. I mean, he was also known as the father of rocketry. I mean, we're talking about the first rocket engine. He believed in magic, a force that he felt could be explained through quantum physics. Now, stick with me. Okay, so Jack Parsons, also known as the father of rocketry, who invented the first rocket engine, attempts to bring in this mystical goddess through a magical fornication ritual known as the Babylon Working, a ceremony which was inspired by Aleister Crowley's novel called Moonchild. Okay, so this black magician who was responsible for launching rockets into space worked at NASA. And now NASA plans to launch 3 rockets into the moon's shadow on April 8th, same day Aleister Crowley claims to have first contacted the entity Iwas. Wow. Well, if this is all just a coincidence, this is one hell of a coincidence. Lots of mass hysteria surrounding this event. I mean, you've got multiple states who have declared a state of emergency ahead of the solar eclipse. I mean, this is a little bit crazy even for me, I'm not gonna lie. But it is fascinating. I mean, maybe I'm reaching a little bit, but who knows? I don't know. CERN's doing mock rituals. Why does it always connect to the occult? So I plan to edit this into a YouTube video, and I look forward to hopefully seeing some thoughts and opinions on this in the comments. So if you are watching on YouTube, dive deeper into my podcast. It's called Secrets in the Shadows, available on all platforms. Again, my name is Jada as your host here on Secrets in the Shadows. Thank you for tuning in.